Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
If you're a parent, you know that spring break is just around the corner. And if your kids are of a certain age, as my college-age son is, who's 19, and wanting to go off on their own with friends to Daytona Beach or somewhere in Florida, that concern, that worry, oh, God, what are they going to do there, as opposed to, oh, how fun that's going to be for you, is really a thing. So we're going to talk today about ways that you can communicate with your young person, your young adult that's going on spring break without you. My guest is Dr. Joanna Dolgoff. She's a pediatrician and an official spokesperson for the American Academy of Pediatrics. Dr. Dolgoff, I'm sending my 19-year-old off for a spring break this year, and I'm quite terrified. We have really good communication, and he's an athlete, so we're talking about drugs and partying and all these things. But yikes, it's so scary. If you could give us one piece of information to give our children before they head off with their friends, what would it be?
Talk. Have a wonderful conversation. You want to definitely get everything out there, but you want to be supportive. So you don't want to say, don't go to parties, don't drink, don't do anything, because your child will shut down and won't listen to you. So you want to be supportive. You want to say, I know you're going to go out. I know you're going to go to parties. Let's talk about how we can do that in a safe way.
Can we put a chip in them so that we can watch what they do all the time, or ask them to FaceTime us as they walk around to the parties? No.
Well, if you can figure out how to do that, I'll do that for my 16-year-old as well. But other than that, arming them with information before they go is the most important thing. And, you know, I have some tips of things that you can talk about with your child before they head out to spring break to give them things to think about.
So give us those tips.
I think one of the most important things is telling them to think about what they want to do before they even head out to the party, because that's when they're thinking most rationally. So that's when they should set their limits. Do they want to drink? And if they want to drink, let them think about how much they want to drink, because once they have that first drink, their rational thinking goes out the window. Let them think, do they want to have sex? And if they do want to have sex, do they have protection? And they should always bring two forms of protection, two condoms, in case the first one breaks. Now, this is something that's difficult to talk about with children, but it's really important, because this is exactly what's going on out there. They also should know how they're going to get home from the party. Do they have a designated driver? Are they going to take a taxi? And if they're going to take a taxi, do they know the phone number of the taxi service? It's better not to be scrambling while they're at the party.
Well, and with the advent of Uber, most of these kids have the app, and that certainly is, mm-hmm. in my opinion, almost one of the most important discussions that you can have is don't get in a car. Just don't get in a car. So what if your kids are really honest with you and they say, you know what, Mom, I'm going to drink, as my son did. And then he said, what should I drink so that it doesn't get me very buzzed, so that it doesn't? And I said, well, you could have a glass of wine. And he said, well, a glass of wine isn't going to look great at a, you know, frat party or whatever.
Right.
So, I mean, when they are actually honest with us and we want to have this open communication, how can we advise them of, you know, ways to kind of taper it a little bit?
Yes. Well, let them know that not all drinks are equivalent. So a standard drink is either 12 ounces of beer, that's a bottle of beer, but only 5 ounces of wine, or 1.5 ounces of hard liquor, that's a shot. So if they order a drink like a large martini, or if they get a Long Island iced tea, that's going to have multiple shots in it. So that's not really one drink, that's multiple drinks. So we want them to be aware of that. And not all teenagers know that. We want them to monitor how much they drink, but also how quickly they drink. Because not only does it take time to feel the effects of an alcoholic drink, but we really only metabolize about one standard drink an hour. So if you're drinking more than that, then the effects are building up. Another thing that we see on spring break is kids trying to keep up with their friends. And not everybody has the same tolerance as everyone else. So we really want to try to let our kids know, don't try to keep up with your friends. Drinking on an empty stomach is something that will also make the alcohol hit them harder. So let's try to prepare our kids, eat something before you go out. Something else that's very important in this day and age is telling our kids, always keep an eye on your drink. Never leave your drink unattended, because somebody can slip a drug, a date rape drug, into your drink. If you have to go to the bathroom, you take that drink with you to the bathroom. And don't drink from open beverage sources like a punch bowl or a pitcher, because that's, you know, the way someone can just put a date rape drug into that whole big open beverage source. So you really, really want to be careful. You know, we're not the most aware when we're drinking, and that's when we can be a prime target for criminals, and we don't make our best decisions. So we really, really have to be careful. And my final tip with drinking is not going off by yourself. Let our kids know they are always safer in groups and they should stay with friends.
This time of year, it's hard to avoid getting sick, whether it's a common cold or the stomach bug. It's crucial to stay well hydrated. Hydrolyte is a great-tasting clinical hydration product that contains the correct balance of sodium, glucose, and water to rapidly replace fluids and electrolytes. Hydrolyte comes in great flavors like orange, berry, lemonade, and is available as a pre-mixed drink, a powder, or effervescent tablets that you can simply drop into a glass or a bottle of water. Compared to sports drinks, Hydrolyte delivers up to 4 times the electrolytes with 75% less sugar. Hydrolyte solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. You can find Hydrolyte in the digestive aisle at Rite Aid or online at Amazon.com. Visit Hydrolyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. That's Hydrolyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid.
Well, I think this advice, Dr. Dolgoff, hits not only spring break, but high school kids going to parties, college kids, certainly,
absolutely,
where we can't keep close track. And one of the things that I've always tried to impart to my son is, you know, these kids might be doing shots of tequila, Clayton, and you can do 5 in a row, but then you end up in the hospital. And anybody can drink that.
Exactly.
It's about the after effect. I said, and I gave them the one-hour thing. I'm like, you don't understand. This stuff takes a little while to kick in, but you do it, you end up in the hospital if you do it too fast. And that is, you know, I've drilled that into his head, because that binge drinking is a huge
problem. You do a shot and you say, oh, I don't feel the shot.
That's
right. I'm going to do another shot. You do it. You say, I don't feel it, you know, because it takes a while for those effects to hit you. And that's what's most dangerous. Yes.
Absolutely.
I agree 100%.
You know, it's so scary. And as far as the sex thing, of course, this is, you know, again, I'm not lauding my parenting style or skills, but I was raised with a communicative mother. And so it was something that was always prevalent in my family. And so I'm like that with my 2 children. And the sex thing, we have wide open discussions. But I know that when they're on the beach and girls are, all over the place, all those discussions can go out the window.
Yeah. We need to make sure our kids know that they don't have to have sex if they don't want to. It may seem like everybody is having sex, but everybody is not having sex. And it is okay to say no. Don't let anybody talk them into anything they don't want to do. So we want to kind of let them know that. And a discussion we have to have, especially with our sons, is that consent is imperative.
So
and
important.
Consent has to be verbal. You know, it has to be verbal. If you feel too uncomfortable to talk to your partner about sex, then maybe it's not the right person to be having sex with, you know. And another important thing is that if somebody is very drunk, they are not able to give consent, you know. So this is something, especially in this day and age, we have to be talking about with our children. We have to get consent. Very,
so important.
Very important.
It is. And, you know, one of the things that I wasn't sure whether we were going to mention, but I think that we should, since Florida seems to be a big place to go, these kids get fried in the sun all day. Maybe they're drinking, and then they're fried and drinking. And, you know, sunburn and drinking do not mix. They do not mix.
It's something I wanted to talk about. Sun maximizes the effects of alcohol. So that's another thing. Not only can drinking in the sun lead to a terrible sunburn, so we want our kids to reapply sunscreen throughout the day. We absolutely need to mention that to them. Sun maximizes the effects of alcohol, so you get drunk more quickly, which is something that kids don't always realize. So you have to be extra, extra careful. And you need to stay extra hydrated when you're in the sun with alcohol.
It's true.
Also,
So we want to make sure that we, you know, double check what they're packing, because if it was left up to them, they'd grab one of those little backpacks with a rope and off they go with a pair of shorts in there and nothing else.
Exactly. A lot of sunscreen is very, very important. And what always makes me nervous is swimming and drinking. That can be
too.
So dangerous, you know, so they cannot swim without a lifeguard. That's number one. And I don't love the ocean and drinking, because you can get swept up in a wave so quickly. You know, it's something that they have to be thinking about.
So we bring all this stuff up to them. They're teenagers or they're young 20-somethings. They're rolling their eyeballs at us and saying, "Mom, I know all this. You've drilled it into my head. We've been talking about it since I'm 5. I'll be good. As parents, now I know you're a pediatrician, but I want you to give us some good doctor advice about, as parents, not sitting there pulling out our hair the whole week that they're gone, calling them, texting them, saying, "Are you okay? Are you okay? Did you remember to put on your sunscreen?"
Right. No, I mean, at some point you have to trust that you've told them everything, that you've raised them to have a good head on their shoulders. And, you know, we do want them to have fun at the same time. So, you know, you have to trust and deep breaths, and you'll get through the week, and they will get through the week and have a good time safely. You know, you've done everything that you can do at that point. And then the rest is up to them. And, you know, we've raised our kids well, and they'll do the right thing.
Boy, we can only hope so. So if you want to wrap it up for us, Dr. Dolgoff, with really your best advice. And like I said before, this isn't necessarily about spring break, but college, parties, just, you know, kind of just give us a quick summary of those tips.
Okay, so the best things is to have open conversations with your children. Let them know that you understand they're going to be drinking. You're not telling them not to drink, because you don't want to come off as too moralistic to them. And I like just to say, set your limits before you start drinking. You want to set your limits. Do they want to drink? And if they want to drink, how much do they plan on drinking? Do they want to have sex? If they do, do they have protection? And how are they going to get home from where they're going? Do they have a designated driver? Do they have a taxi? Do they know the number? And like you said, are they going to Uber or something like that? And let them monitor what they drink, not drinking too quickly, not keeping up with friends, eating before drinking, and keeping eyes on their drinks. Those are really the most important tips for going to college parties and things like that.
Well, I want to add one that I forgot to ask you about, but I think it's an important aspect. Along with these things, there's a lot of bands playing. There's concerts. There's big ones like Lollapalooza and Spring Awakening. My son's going to all those. And one of the things that I was working on was, if you get separated from your friends, assessing the situation. God forbid, Dr. Dolgoff, in this day and age, we're so afraid of, you know, some mass shooting. What do we tell our kids about emergency preparedness? Where to meet? Where? How to, you know, if everybody starts running, what are they supposed to do? I mean, that's one of the most scary things for parents right now.
Right, absolutely. Well, we want, you know, if anything happens, we want them to get out, to leave at the first sign of anything. You know, don't wait around. That can be very dangerous. So we want them to leave. There should always be a meeting place. If you get separated from your friends, have a meeting place in advance so that everybody knows where to meet. And in the worst case scenario, if you get separated from your friends, you can't find them, leave the concert early, take an Uber, go home. Don't stay by yourself. No concert is worth something bad happening.
I agree completely. It's, you know, it's a scary world for a parent. And as you said, all we can do is hope that we're giving them roots and wings and that we're raising them right, that we can trust them and that they can trust us and communicate with us. Because as you said, that is really the most important thing, that we have that open line of communication. Thank you so much, Dr. Dolgoff, for coming on and easing our fears and giving us communication talking points with our kids. So many parents aren't sure how to bring up that conversation. So thank you again for being with us. You know, all our experts are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics in conjunction with their consumer website, healthychildren.org. We are Radio MD. You can listen to these shows on TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeart, iTunes, but we want you to listen on RadioMD.com. I'm Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening, and stay well.